this morning. I'm reading again John 20, 11 through 18. This is it's a wonderful passage of Scripture. It has some mystery to it, but this passage of Scripture truly emphasizes Christ's resurrection grace, in particular, to a very hurting, broken woman, Mary, who was wondering what had happened to the body of Jesus. And the Lord reveals himself to her in the midst of her brokenness in order to heal her broken heart and to reveal through her, for she would be the first great witness to the gospel after the resurrection, that Jesus is our living Savior. Reading from God's Word. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Please join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture in which you reveal to us that Jesus resurrected victorious over sin and death and hell, has assured us that the same resurrection body glorified with which he rose will one day be ours when he returns, that you have loved us, not only dying for us, not only rising again, but one day, Lord, you will give us glorified bodies. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Winston Churchill had planned his own funeral, which took place in St. Paul's Cathedral. Many of the great hymns of the church were sung, and the eloquent Anglican liturgy was used. But at his direction, a bugler positioned himself at one end of the high dome at St. Patrick's Cathedral, or St. Paul's Cathedral, and played on his bugle taps after the benediction, which is the universal signal the day is dying, for Churchill had died. But then there was a dramatic turn at the other end of St. Paul's Cathedral. Another bugler played reveille. "It is morning, it is morning. Get up in the morning." Why? Because Churchill was giving testimony that the resurrection of Christ was the last word in history. That the last note to ever be played will not be taps. It will be reveille. Get up in the morning at the resurrection of Jesus Christ with a glorified body. The worst things are not the last things, and the best thing is yet to come. That was Churchill's testimony, and I pray it's yours. And along with this great truth of God's word is another inch in the history of our lives now. The resurrected Christ comes to rekindle hope, to restore or regenerate faith in us, and also to restore us so that we live now in the light of the glorious future we have in Christ. So as Mary Magdalene approaches the empty tomb, all that she has left is a human love for Christ. Her faith died at the cross in Jesus as the Messiah. Her hope died. She expected to find a dead body. And she's so upset because he's not dead. Faith and hope are tied together. If you don't have one, you don't have the other. And so she expected to find Jesus dead. Because of her love, though, she would be the first to see the resurrected Christ in body, in flesh. And this resurrected Jesus rekindled her hope, regenerated faith, and restored her to live for him. What does it mean to rekindle hope? You know, despite all the minor and superficial differences in the four gospel accounts of the resurrection, as we said last week, they all agree Jesus rose bodily. But there, it's not hard to come up with a unified sequence of events that harmonize in all four gospels. First, Jesus arises from the dead about dawn of that first resurrection day, followed by an earthquake and the coming of angels, so that Pilate's guards fled in fear. Then a little later, some faithful women, including Mary Magdalene, come to the tomb, expecting to care for Jesus' dead body. They come to the tomb, and the tomb stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. Mary Magdalene sees it, and she runs away to go tell the male disciples, John and Peter, that the stone was rolled away. But the other women stay. They go into the empty tomb, and the angels tell them he is not here, he is risen. The women leave. John and Peter then come, run to the tomb, the empty tomb, look in, see the grave clothes Jesus has left, and then they leave and go home, followed by Mary Magdalene, who comes to the tomb, goes into the tomb, and sees two angels in white raiment on opposite sides of the empty slab that Jesus most probably was laid on. In other words, Christ was truly laid in that tomb, and Christ truly rose from the dead in that tomb, and Mary Magdalene weeps. That's what the passage says. She is brokenhearted. Just imagine. She knew about Jesus' betrayal. She knew about his arrest. She probably saw him crucified. She is overwhelmed with grief, overcome with a loss of energy, totally depleted, and she breaks down emotionally, and she begins weeping. You read in verse 11, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And you might ask, well, why didn't these angels appear to Peter and John? Why did they just appear to Mary? And you might wonder and think, well, that's strange, until you read Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister to serve those who will inherit salvation? The point is, perhaps John and Peter did not need to see the angels, but Mary did, because she needed to be built up. She needed encouragement. And their task would have been, in their dazzling holiness, arrayed in white, to lift her from her preoccupation with the dead Jesus to see the living Jesus, because she was just thinking of the Jesus in the past instead of the Jesus of the present, who was alive and resurrected. In other words, she was looking at only the loss, her circumstances, through loss and despair, instead of looking at her circumstances from the standpoint of the victorious, triumphant Christ. Whenever we look at our circumstances from the standpoint of self-trust, self-preoccupation, or despair and hopelessness, we're going to fall into despair, and despair is always the work of the devil. It is the God of Jesus Christ who is our hope and always our hope. Do you believe that? Because he's sovereign. And what does Mary do? She turns, the passage says this, through her tears and through her preoccupation with finding the body of Jesus, which is dead, they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. In other words, when she turns around at first, she does not recognize Jesus. But you know what? She's not the only one who didn't recognize Jesus on Resurrection Day. In Luke 24, the two Emmaus Road disciples, Luke tells us, their eyes were kept from recognizing Christ. Maybe the same was true of Mary. But then notice what else happens. This is one of the most touching scenes in Scripture. One of the most loving scenes in Scripture. Verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." Here's the point. Jesus reveals himself to her as the resurrected Lord with a gentle word of reproof. "Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And a ministry of compassion. And he does the same for each of us. In other words, what is Jesus doing? Jesus is saying, "Mary, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Then she, as she's turning, he calls her by name and says, "Mary." And she recognizes it's Jesus. Jesus' intention in these questions is very clear. What is Jesus doing? Jesus is not reproving her from the grief, for the grief that flows from her love. It is not sinful to cry. Crying is to the glory of God when it is done out of love, because it expresses love for the person. But he is correcting her for the unbelief within her grief and causing her to focus her attention on the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, by his resurrection, transforms the scene of grief and despair into one of great hope that he has conquered death. We grieve and we sorrow in this life because we love our loved ones. And yes, that death separates us from them. But Jesus Christ rekindles hope when we look to Christ in the midst of sorrows and losses and crosses, and strengthens that faith and sustains that faith because we recognize he is the Lord, he is the Master, he is the victorious Savior, and our faith in Christ as we look to him is made strong in the midst of sorrow and grief. The devil intends to make you stumble when you're tempted. Jesus Christ intends to strengthen you through the trials and sufferings of life because he's a living, ruling Savior. What is the reason perhaps she couldn't recognize Jesus? He had a glorified body. The splendor and glory that Jesus Christ had before he assumed flesh is returned to him in his resurrection. So he is literally filled with a glory and splendor that we cannot imagine. And that may have been a real reason why she couldn't recognize him. Jesus Christ is our hope in life and death because he not only died, he rose again with a glorified body. He's a living Savior. And you know what the promise of his resurrection is? You also, and I also, will receive a glorified body that will never suffer pain, that will have no vestiges of sin in them. Jesus Christ has a body that is glorified, and the promise of the gospel is, so will you. Let me read 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 44. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. In other words, the great promise of the gospel is even though our bodies die, and are laid in the ground, and the molecules dissipate, and the amino acids decompose, and we become real dust, Jesus Christ will return, and our bodies will be joined to perfect spirits, and we will forever conquer death and pain and sin and suffering only because Christ rose from the dead. That is the promise of the gospel. I'm going to close at this point because I want to spend some time next week on the other two points. But I do want to emphasize, what more could God have done to show you that he loves you than for Jesus to come and die on the cross for your sin? Than for him to be raised from the dead so that you would and I would have eternal life through faith in him alone. And after we've been dead maybe thousands and thousands and thousands of years, to raise your body incorruptible, never to suffer. What more could God have done than even now, if we die before Jesus comes, death only makes you better. It only makes you perfect in spirit. It only ends your suffering in this life. And the Bible says the way you stand firm in the Lord is to live every day of your life looking at the glory to come as you face the crosses and losses and difficulties of this life, and to say, I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I am the vessel of God. And I am going to live reflecting Christ every day in this body with my eyes on him, because one day I'll have a new body and I'll be serving him forever. I'm going to serve him now. So let Christ rekindle your hope today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your great love in the death and resurrection of Christ. Thank you for your compassion in coming to Mary to minister to her and give her hope in her brokenheartedness, and that she found hope by looking to you, the resurrected Lord. May you rekindle our hope that we might serve you with all that is in us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.